Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What do you do when the foundations start to shake? Now, I've watched pictures of people in earthquakes, and when the foundations start to shake, people panic. It's a very terrifying thing to have foundations shake. And even if it's not physically having foundations shaken, what about when everything that you thought was true, everything that you valued somehow got shifted? Have you ever had that experience where you're tripping along life and everything's going well, and then your foundations shake? If you've lived long enough, you know the feeling of life just ripping out the floor right out from under you. What do you do when foundations start to shake? Isaiah had that experience. He experienced it along with his nation when his beloved King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was a very strong king. He was a powerful man. He was a man of conviction. He was a man who could get things done. And in this tiny state of Judah, he was able to forge alliances. He was able to keep enemies around him at bay. We don't quite understand in the United States, because we're surrounded by water and we have some natural barriers. But in this little land where Isaiah lived, there were no natural barriers. And he had states that were hostile all around the city of Judah, the country of Judah. And so Uzziah was the king that was able to keep the peace and was able to keep his people safe. And they knew that once he died, that era of peace, that era of prosperity was going away. They could see the political winds of change. And Isaiah was caught up with that along with his people. So you can imagine that when he was in the temple, he, along with his people, were very deeply concerned about life. And if you recall the history of that state, they never again had a time where they were at peace, where they didn't have foreign influences. What do you do when your foundations are shaken? Well, Isaiah went to the temple. Now, it didn't say he went to get any answers. He went because that was his job. He was a priest, and he was doing his priestly duties. And of them, he was supposed to be in the temple, and he was supposed to be offering prayers, and he did that dutifully like he had done all the other times. But this time, something happened. And that something that happened was God himself was seen in that temple, and he described it. He described the undescribable. He said all he saw was the end of his rope. And it was so terrifying that he said, I'm doomed. He got to see the transcendent God, the God of all creation. And you notice that after he sees him, there's no more talk of Uzziah. There's no more talk of what's going to happen to our nation. He sees a vision of God, and God asks the question, I need somebody to go and speak. And Isaiah raises his hand and says, send me. Now, if you read beyond that, you would think that maybe Isaiah would have questioned or said, I was a little hasty. Because God, when he sent him, said, I'm going to ask you to speak to people, and they're not going to pay attention. And the place is going to be overrun anyway. Now, that's not the kind of a vision and the kind of work that I want to be doing. Yes, I'll talk for God, and nobody's going to listen to me. Wow, that's really great. I can't wait. But Isaiah went and did it anyway. And what is so amazing about that is that after he saw the transcendent, he realized it wasn't about him anymore. And he went and spoke the words that God gave him, the words that nobody paid attention to. But thousands of years have gone by, and the people of faith have read his words, and they have been preserved. They are words of hope. They are words of future blessing. They are words that say, "For to us a son is given." And we understand that that son was Jesus. They are words that talk about the suffering servant of God. And we see these marvelous words that have blessed two great religions, the Jews and the Gentiles, has blessed everyone for so many centuries. And yet when he went and he talked, the people of his time didn't listen. But it didn't matter to him, because he saw God. When the foundations are shaken, our human tendency is first to look up and say, "What on earth are you doing?" And then is to say, "There's nothing I can do about it." And that is why we need to be in the temple of God. That's why we need to be in worship. Because in worship, we can see beyond ourselves, and we can see the glory and the power of God. And we can understand that we need to get over ourselves. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. And every time the foundations are shaken, God starts to speak and says, "I need to send somebody. Will you go?" God's reaction is to bring peace and blessing where those foundations have been shaken. There was a family several years ago whose foundations were shaken. This was a family in my previous church whose father died suddenly. And this man was a great pillar of the church, and he was a wonderful man. He was the heart of his family. And when he died, the very foundations of that family were shaken. And his wife and his daughter, two members of his family, saw the Lord. They saw the Lord in the way the church comforted them. They saw the Lord in the peace that they had within their grief. And those two, rather than staying home and be in bitterness, one of them became the head of the youth of the church, and the other became an elder. And for the last decade of my ministry, those two women took on the young people of our church. And I have to tell you something about it. Now that I look back, in an area where there was a lot of social unrest, in an area where there were teen pregnancies and there were all sorts of problems, in a church where people sent their kids and didn't go themselves, there was not one teenage pregnancy in that church. There, every single youth of that church went to college. And those two women are the reason that there are so many kids today, young adults, who are professionals and who love the Lord Jesus. Because after their foundations were shaken, God put out a call and said, "Who will go?" And these two women said, "We will. Send us." In the year 2003, I had four funerals in 3 months, and two of whom were my parents. The foundations of my church were shaken, and my foundation was shaken. And as I look back, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord in grace and peace and beauty. And the last years of my ministry there, the people of God stepped up and started to help people in the neighborhoods who were hurting. They ran food pantries. They opened up the church for homeless men. They clothed children and brought school supplies. They answered the call of God when the foundations were shaken and God said, "Who will I send?" And they raised their hand and said, "Send me." When the foundations are shaken, God speaks to his people and says, "I need you to bring peace. I need you to bring joy. I need you to bring healing. I need you to be my hands and feet. We get our marching orders here because within the hymns and within the speaking of the word and within this place, we get to get a glimpse of the transcendent, of the Holy Spirit of God at work. And then he says, go out there. I have a job. The foundations have been shaken. It's not a time for pity party. You get about 5 minutes of pity party, and then you go out, because it's not about us. It's about the grace and the beauty of God that we still need to bring to a lost and dying world. Have you heard the call today? Who will go? May we say, I'll go. I will go. Come what may, I will go and be your hands and feet in this community and beyond. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that when foundations are shaken, you are Lord above, that nothing can shake your purpose, nothing can shake the grandeur of your being, nothing can shake your love for us. And I ask, O Lord, that you would give us that glimpse of your power, your beauty, and your grace, so we can bring it to those in our world that are hurting. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.